Welcome back. Still on Ask the Pastor. Okay, we have more questions coming in. Happy birthday, Sal. Long life and prosperity in Jesus' name. And shalom to the bride of Christ worldwide. Sir, please, I have a question about water baptism. If a Christian is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, according to Matthew 28, verse 19, and he or she is spirit-filled with the Holy Ghost, will he or she be raptured or not? Brother Ebenezer from Edo State.
You see, this filled with the Holy Ghost, if you have been following us, by now you will understand the anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen.
Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, comes to achieve something. It affects the soul. Mm. Therefore, it will lead you to all truth. It causes you to understand scriptures. Now, when you say baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, and then you take someone into the water and baptize the person in the name of the Father, so Holy Ghost, repeating Matthew 28:19, you have not called the name.
That's right.
But you did that and you came out and then you some vibration taking place, therefore you are saved. No, it's more than that.
Amen.
That's just the beginning of the salvation process.
Mm.
Allow it to reach your soul and teach you. Mm. Shortly after that, you will discover some errors and correct them. That will be the evidence that manifestation you saw is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It is wrong to take anybody into the water repeating Matthew 28 verse 19 instead of fulfilling it, obeying it. Mm. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that commandment was told to the disciples.
Mm.
And those same disciples that had it baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Simple logic.
Amen.
It simply means that name Jesus is the name of the Father.
Amen.
And the same Son. Name of the Son. And is the name of the Holy Ghost. That is a mystery.
Amen and amen.
Of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. So the Spirit will lead you into all.
So when you baptize in the name of Jesus, it is then you have obeyed that commandment to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus.
Amen.
Simple, simple. I don't know why it's difficult for general overseers, reverend doctors, archbishops, and the, very venerable men of God. I don't know why it's difficult to understand. It's a mystery. That
Amen.
Even their inability to understand it is a mystery.
Salvation is not for all. Hallelujah. Okay, we have more questions. Can we have them? Shalom, Pastor. Why are believers in Christ not honoring God instead of worshiping God on Saturday, which is the Sabbath day? Rather, they choose worshiping God on Sunday. According to the Bible, where exactly is the Sabbath day? Or when exactly is the Sabbath day? Dosa from Bayelsa, Nigeria.
I think we've answered this before.
Not from him.
That means he's not listening to us. Always.
Maybe a new...
Christ fulfilled the Sabbath.
Amen.
That's the much I can say. For the Sabbath was to be observed under the law.
Mm.
But when Christ came, that was abolished.
Amen.
Now there is no day that is holy.
Mm. Amen.
For it is typing the rest that we shall have in that seventh day, which is the millennium.
Amen.
And Christ fulfills that. Mm. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes. Under the Old Testament, there was a Sabbath. Under the Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament, New Covenant. That is no longer needed when you are in Christ. That is why we are not bound by so many of those ordinances in the Old Testament. That is why we're not killing rams, that Christ ended it because he became the sacrificial lamb. He became
Amen.
The Passover lamb.
Amen.
And also that is why now we don't worship in any particular temple as
Amen.
It was under the law. We now worship in spirit and in truth because
Amen.
You can only worship where God has placed his name.
Amen.
And his name is now in Christ, in
Amen.
The Son. And therefore, Christ became the temple of the Holy
Hallelujah.
Ghost, God's dwelling place.
Amen.
For he received not the Spirit by measure, for the fullness of the Spirit of God dwelt in him. Therefore, we look up to grace and not look back to the law. So that's the mystery of grace. So no particular day. Sunday is not the rest day.
Amen.
No law brought us to Sunday. Sunday is only a holiday to afford the Christians to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Which became the tradition of the apostles. They gathered on the first
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
They gathered in the first day of the week, and the
Amen.
First day of the week is Sunday.
Amen.
It was not a commandment, scriptural commandment, and the Catholics did not institute it. It was the Roman Empire. They were ruling, so they just created that day for the continuation of the tradition of Christians, where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We use it as an opportunity to gather and worship. It does not stop us from doing work, from going to office. If you don't even have time to go, you have not sinned.
Amen.
Because no day is a holy day
Amen.
When you come to Christ. Thank you.
So you've just given us a simple logic.
Yes.
If you would accept Saturday worship, Sabbath worship, then you must sacrifice all the rams.
That's it.
You must keep all the laws.
Exactly.
Logic. You must go to the temple at Jerusalem to also
worship. To also worship. You must be in the temple in Jerusalem.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Okay, let's have more questions. Good evening, sir. More grace. Sir, please kindly explain the scriptural procedure of what it takes to destroy an evil altar that is working against or fighting an individual or a family. The scriptural procedure.
Is it this a scriptural procedure?
Yes, sir.
It's Ephesians chapter 6.
Okay. Ephesians 6.
From verse 10.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
So even that statement makes it clear. Put on the whole armor of God, and subsequently what you have to put on. And then you now have the sword of the Spirit in verse 18, correct?
Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of
which God. Is the word of God. And that is one, this gives you authority.
Amen.
Then you will now go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23.
Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain,
speak,
be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea,
yes,
and shall not doubt in his heart,
yes,
but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass,
yes,
he shall have whatsoever he saith.
That is the procedure. Speak to the situation and it will change.
Amen.
That's all.
As simple as that.
As simple as that. It's asking for procedure. The procedure is for Christians believing that you have repented, you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, you are already higher place in the spirit
Amen.
Than that evil altar.
Amen and amen.
For we are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
So you have to understand that you are higher than them.
Amen.
And when you are higher than them, you have power over them. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Mark chapter 16 verse 17. You know, this sign shall follow them that believe.
My name, they shall cast,
cast out the devil. How do you cast out? He gave us authority to bind and to lose. Whatever we bind here is bound. What you lose, you lose. We have too much authority when you are in Christ. So procedure is just arm yourself with the sword of the Spirit.
I thought you were going to tell me 40 days fasting.
No. We've gone beyond that. We are restoration ministry. The light is shining.
Amen.
Yeah, so we forget that.
Amen.
Nothing like that.
Hallelujah.
If there's anything more, then God will show you personally through the word of knowledge, gifts. That's all.
So you don't have to carry a prophet to your village to...
If the Lord needs you to do that, you do it. Because he's still going to do what you can do. He's going to speak.
Yes.
He's only going to speak what you can do. So I don't know why you're spending money and sending people.
Yes.
And the power, remember that chapter 18 of Proverbs.
Proverbs.
It says 18:20-21.
Yes, sir.
What did he say? Death
A man's, from verse 20.
Okay, from verse 20.
A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth.
Yes.
And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled.
Then, verse 21.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Again.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
You say it. That's why I quoted Mark 11, verse 23.
Mm.
Say it.
Amen.
There's a power that comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
Bind it. It's not with rope. It's with the word of authority. The authority we have in Christ is too much.
Hallelujah.
The problem with us is to discover it.
Mm.
And once you discover it, then you will understand why in Hebrew, you know, you have to discover your the authority you have.
Mm.
You know, what in Hebrew chapter 12 from verse 22, see where you are.
Hebrews 12 from 22.
See where you are.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion.
When you come to Christ, believers, where are you?
Mount Zion.
And Obadiah, Obadiah, what did Obadiah say?
Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance and holiness.
Once you are in Christ, there will be deliverance.
Hallelujah.
There will be deliverance.
Mm.
And see the assurance of deliverance. Read on.
Okay, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Can you see heavenly, far above principalities and powers?
And to an innumerable company of angels.
See angels that come round about you. You are overprotected. Elijah, Elisha, got that revelation that Gehazi didn't get. When the Syrians came to finish them, like your evil altar you are talking about. It was coming. He said, they that be for us are more than these people that gather around us.
Amen.
And Gehazi said, how? I'm seeing people, we are finished. And then he just said, oh, Father, just open his eyes to see. May God open your eye to know who you are when you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, you are afraid of witches and wizards. They can't reach you. Their weapons, you are too high. It cannot reach them. And see where you are. Innumerable company of angels.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn.
Can you, do you know that the Bible said all firstborn belong to him?
Amen.
Belong to God. We are special people, the church of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Which are written in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And to God, the judge of all.
Uh-huh.
And to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Okay.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
Now, do you know why you come to God, the judge of all? Because he said, when you are in Christ, there is no more condemnation.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because what you are accusing me of, the Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate.
Hallelujah.
He has settled, he has paid it for the price already for it.
Amen.
And that is why in Revelation chapter 12,
Revelation
12. And verse 10 and verse 11.
Revelations 12, 10 and 11.
Yes.
Okay, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength,
yes,
and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ.
Yes.
For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God.
Who accused the brethren
before our God
day and night?
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
What is overcoming power we have?
The blood of the Lamb.
The price has been paid. He has no power over us again. It's a powerless accuser.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, let's have question two. Oh, Sister Oge is calling us from Port Harcourt. God bless you, Sister Oge, on air. God bless you. God bless you.
Yes, yeah, Sister Oge. Shalom.
Shalom. Good evening.
God bless you.
Okay, please, I'd like to appreciate you. I'm very grateful. I'd like to appreciate you what you've been doing.
Amen.
My dad is greeting. He is really your husband's soul, and I'd like to thank you.
Amen.
We really watch the program every day. Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you. Thank you for the encouragement.
Okay, sir. Now, I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
My mom was actually in a dream. And in that dream, while she was with her women from her own set, they saw a scorpion. And then once they saw a scorpion in the center, and then she went to God and told her that this scorpion is the sweet of the reason that has been healing me in that prayer. And actually, God, in the church, my mother and my dad said, they've been expressing yet for some years in the church. And then when she happened to the dream said that 141 is what has given the prayer that we've been praying. Sister, I'd like you to reflect on this point with respect to the dream. How, because for the past 6 years now, they've walked so many through in their church. Please, sir, do you have any interpretation for this? Thank you very much.
What was revealed to your mother is actually a hindrance to the spiritual progress of the church, and that there is a hindrance, there's a spirit there that okay. is causing death among the brethren.
Okay, sir.
And that revelation is supposed to be told the pastor. And that, and the pastor should immediately do exactly like Joshua did. Joshua in the battle of Ai,
yes,
God promised him, you know, that anywhere he goes will be success. But now he's having failure. People are dying. Something is wrong. And that is why I also preached a message that titled The Christian Retreat.
Amen.
Now, so they decided to take a retreat to find out why are people dying? Why are people dying? And God, certainly, when you withdraw, you take a fast, the whole church, a solemn assembly, take a whole fast, everybody. And then one prayer point, Lord, have mercy upon us. And they remove the curse, reveal and remove the curse of our spiritual estate. And God answers such prayers easily. He will expose who is responsible and what causes it. And we should be sincere enough to address it when it is exposed. And the church will move forward.
Amen.
Okay.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we've not finished the question the pastor was answering. The question of the brother. Okay, question two. What does it take, or how can an altar of God be raised to replace the evil altar that is working against a family or a person? Thank you, sir. I'm Sister Favor from Bangate, Cameroon.
There is no, the only altar that replaces that evil altar is the altar of your heart. Because God meets with us in our heart. Don't go and build anything and be bowing to it and kneeling down there and then saying that is your altar. The altar of God is now in the heart.
Amen.
God meets with us in the heart because we are the temple of God. And every temple has an altar.
Hallelujah.
And therefore the altar of this temple is in the heart.
Amen.
For that is where God meets with all of
amen
us.
And, amen.
And there is our meeting point. The mind
amen
is where God meets with us.
Amen.
Don't go and create anything. Just give your life to Christ. Increase your prayer life. And make sure you live a life that the accuser of the brethren will accuse you of nothing. Be fervent in the spirit. That's all we are covered.
Amen.
Yes.
Shalom, sir. Is it right to say God of Pastor Sunday, God of Pastor Benga, God of Pastor Moses, for example, when praying? But I told you from Abuja.
No, it depends on the spirit that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Bible says, God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is my name.
Mm-hmm.
What it's telling you is that he's a covenant-keeping God. That's just nothing more. It's his attribute, nothing more. And you know there is a way that God works with Pastor Olumide and that you know God is with him and that, you know, it is your own way of saying you believe the same God that Olumide believes. If that is what goes with it, I believe the same God that Olumide believes. Therefore, the God of Olumide remains my God because he is also my God. If that is the spirit, nothing wrong with it. But if you are not made Olumide an idol, because of any manifestation of grace in his life, and then you are saying, oh God of Olumide, oh God of Olumide, what you are actually appearing to be saying is that you are not relating with that God. You know there is only Olumide that is relating with mediator. That God. So Olumide has become a mediator between you and that God, since you have no direct relationship with it. If you come that way, it is wrong. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, let's have this as our last question. Good evening, Brother Aldo and Brother Olumide. Thank God for your lives and Bright Assembly Ministry. Sir, from Mark 11:13, why did Jesus curse the fig tree, although it was not his time to bear fruit? Can one be punished, although not guilty? Brother Chidi from Germany.
Brother Chidi from Munich in Germany. That story that is in Mark chapter 11, that story is there to teach us two lessons. One is prophetic. And what the prophetic aspect of it is talking about Israel. And you can see that, yes, it was not yet time for Israel to receive Christ, because God himself in the divine agenda, according to Romans 11 verse 25,
yes, sir,
for blindness in part is God that blinded them has come so that we, the Gentiles, can come in.
Amen.
But here they are playing religion. They played religion, and that's what the leaves signify in that fig tree. You are having a form of worship that will attract someone to come. And when they come, no life is seen there. They are cursed. Now, they were deceitful. It's not just that they are blind, but they are deceitful, claiming to be religious, claiming to have what certainly they didn't have. It is the story of Israel that resulted to their being scattered in AD 70. That curse was on them. And we have to learn a lesson from there, that we must worship God by revelation. If not, you end up like the fig tree. Then also, God was teaching us, and he can use anything to teach a principle. He was using to teach us the power of the spoken word, the exercise of faith. Just as he spoke to that fig tree, you can also speak to any situation. And that is what we learned. That is what produced the answer in that same chapter 11, yes, verse sir. 23, 24, 25.
That's true.
So that is what we learn from the cursing of the fig tree. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you to our pastor who has been here for the past 2 hours. Thank you. We thank the Lord for his wisdom upon you, and we thank the Lord for his grace upon you. And also, we thank you for making yourself available for us to ask you questions. Not many pastors can do that in this generation. Okay. A big thank you to all those that have asked questions today, to all those who have been watching us and fellowshipping with us. We are not seeing anybody on Zoom, but if you're on Zoom, we want to say thank you, and all those that have connected. And a big thank you to all sponsors of Bright TV. We really, really say thank you for your labor, your sacrifice. I will pray the Lord will reward you greatly in Jesus' name. So God bless you till we meet again. Don't forget to watch Rapture Watch this Thursday. The pastor will be on set, and he'll be teaching, or he'll be talking to us, teaching us something very interesting. So please do not miss any program on Bright TV. Till we meet again, keep watching the Bright TV. God bless you.